Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Tuesday, December 27th. Today, we're talking to Colorado Sun business reporter Tamara Chung about how Colorado is challenging 13,000 speed inaccuracies in the new federal broadband map. Before we begin, the Colorado Sun needs your help to support visual journalism at the Sun. The Sun's photographer, Olivia Sun, is a Report for America core member. Report for America is a nonprofit organization which places talented emerging journalists into local newsrooms. Any contributions help continue the program. To learn more, visit coloradosun.com/RFA. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day in 1858, a group of prospectors gathered at the cabin of Oscar Lehow and Andrew Sagendorf on what is now the Auraria campus in downtown Denver. There, they celebrated the feast day of St. John the Evangelist, a prominent date on the Masonic calendar. Freemasonry, a fraternal society, flourished in the 19th century. Its pageantry and secrecy appealed to some members, while its social and economic connections drew others. The feast day offered the founding members of the local fraternity, who had already held several small meetings, a chance to celebrate. The Grand Master of Kansas Territory, under whose jurisdiction the Pikes Peak Gold Rush country lay, praised the extension of Freemasonry, noting that new chapters were popping up in the West. He wrote, quote, "Truly this is an age of penetration and progression, and the genial influence of Masonry, cementing and warming the hearts of its members, keeps pace with the march of civilization." Within a few months, followers of the craft erected the area's first Masonic temple at Central City. When Colorado Territory received its own Grand Lodge designation in the summer of 1861, Methodist minister John Shivington secured the leadership post of Grand Master. Masons emerged as prominent political and business leaders in Colorado, and the group grew in number and stature. In 1890, they dedicated a massive temple built of orange sandstone and designed by Frank Edbrook, which endured a fire in 1984 and remains a prominent feature on Denver's 16th Street Mall. Before we continue, a quick message. Join the Colorado Sun for its 2023 legislative session preview. On January 11th, join politics reporter and editor Jesse Paul as he speaks with lawmakers about the upcoming session. The event is free and virtual. Sign up today at coloradosun.com/events. Now our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up Podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation, and I'm grateful to be here with you. And I'm grateful to be here with Tamara, our business reporter, who faithfully comes by every week to talk to us. Hi, Tamara.
Hi, Carol.
Today, I was thinking we could talk about this broadband issue that you have been reporting on and following really for quite some time at coloradosun.com. But we're in a situation now where the state of Colorado broadband office, I believe, is challenging about 13,000 speed inaccuracies in the new federal broadband map. And you wrote a very interesting story on that earlier this month. Can you give us a little bit of background?
Sure thing. So as a lot of folks know, internet used to be pretty slow, but in the metro area, I live in the Denver area, you know, you can get fiber in a lot of places, and fiber internet means 1 gigabit per second speeds. But in many rural areas, and even some kind of urban areas, the internet is very slow still. And the FCC knows this, and you know, that's the Federal Communications Commission, and so does the Colorado Broadband Office. So for years, the goal was to make sure those communities, you know, mostly rural, get connected to faster internet. And what happened here is the FCC finally has come out with this new map. So the old map would basically say that if there was one household in a whole census tract, then the whole area, you know, one household that got good internet of 25 megs down and three up, that was good enough, even if like hundreds and hundreds of households didn't have good internet. So this new map is preliminary, and it came out in November, but it's preliminary. And the FCC wants people to look up their address and see, hey, is this the type of services, the internet services I get and the speeds? And if not, they want you to challenge it. So, you know, the FCC is obviously working with various states, and the Colorado Broadband Office immediately challenged 13,000 of these locations around the state, and they believe there will be more.
Interesting. What is the function, the role of the Colorado Broadband Office?
So there's a lot of money out there for broadband coverage. And even in the state, and even before all the federal, like the Infrastructure Act and many laws like that, there's still state money for helping these rural communities get faster internet speeds. The Colorado Broadband Office was set up a couple years ago through the governor's office to help make sure this happens. And now the office recently hired Brandy Ryder, who used to be the Eagle Township manager. And she's in charge of making sure, you know, Colorado applies for all the available federal grants and uses them. And according to the office, there's probably up to $1 billion available for Colorado. And one thing about this map in particular, it's part of this $42 billion Infrastructure Act to improve broadband.
Okay. And you've written about this before.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so every state gets an equal amount. That's $100 million. But if the state can prove that more households need internet or aren't being served, those states, including Colorado, could get more money.
Really interesting. What is the nature of a challenge? Like, what does a challenge look like? And what do the feds do with that?
Yeah. So anyone can actually go into this map, and it's located at broadbandmap.fcc.gov. And you can type in your actual house address, and there will be a little pop-up window that says challenge location. And you basically go through this process of saying, you know, why you're challenging it. You know, you can add your email address and stuff like that. And then it gets it on the record. Cross your fingers that something will happen. But, you know, if nobody even knows that your house doesn't have internet, then it won't be considered.
I just typed my address in. It's a really cool map. I would encourage listeners to go do what you referenced, Tamara, broadbandmap.fcc.gov. And there's all these little green dots that represent, you know, my house and all the homes around me. And, you know, it says you were talking about up and down. So my down is 1200 and my up is 35. Can you interpret that?
Yes. That means somewhere someone is offering your household gigabit internet. 1200 means 1.2 gigabits per second. And that's like about 1200 megabits per second. So you won't get better internet than what you have.
We're lucky.
Yeah. People who are considered underserved are those with speeds slower than 100 megabits per second down and 20 megabits up. So that's a big change from what the FCC has used as a rule before, which was the 25.3.
Big change. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, here I'm looking at this, very fortunate to have the ability to, you know, have this internet that we do have, and it's through Xfinity, you know, so it's not fiber, which I know, like you referenced, is going in some communities. This is a broadband. For people who don't have this, I would guess that the larger concerns are, as you said, looking at rural areas. This affects students. This affects families, multi-generational families trying to live in one household. And so this $1 billion that the state has at its fingertips sounds like it really does need to get rolled out to some of these communities outside of the high metro concentrations.
Yes. And I would add that, you know, not all of these communities are rural. Like, I was just talking to someone. I mean, she lives sort of near El Dorado Canyon, just outside of Boulder. She said she's 8 miles from Boulder and she cannot get good internet, you know, and so this would go to helping her. It's also about cell service. You know, if your cell service is not so good, or you can't, you know, obviously get mobile data service, you know, this is something that you can challenge.
That makes sense. And so you mentioned Brandy Reeder, the new executive director of the Colorado Broadband Office. What are her goals and how soon? When will some of this money start getting spent, infrastructure available to these folks?
You know, this is a process, of course. And as I mentioned, the FCC map is preliminary. There is a deadline, January or March, where, you know, you've got to get your challenge in by then. So that's the starting point. And then once the map is finalized, you know, that's where states will be able to start knowing how much money they can get. And then it will start rolling out. And the idea is actually within 5 years that money will be paid out and projects will have been started.
So it sounds like the next phase of this process is definitely first quarter of next year, of just around the corner.
I would add just one thing. After I wrote this story, I did start hearing from folks who tried to challenge their location and were having difficulties. I'm currently looking into that because some people, obviously, if you don't have good internet, it's hard to pull up data on your computer because you just don't have fast enough internet, so you can't make that challenge. There's also people who had some issues with their email, a variety of things, and that is going to be a future story. So look for it in the Colorado Sun.
Tamara, thanks for covering this for us and keeping us informed, as always, on a variety of topics. And thanks to everyone who helped produce today's podcast, including our production partners at Pirate Audio. And have a wonderful day out there, and I sincerely hope that you can join us for the next Daily Sun Up.
Read more on this story at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. A year after the Marshall Fire that destroyed more than 1,000 homes, the residents who had vowed to regain a sense of community are scattered. Just one home has been rebuilt. Some residents who got a jump on the permitting and rebuilding process are on track for July and August move-in dates. Others just moved away. Fewer than 170 permits had been issued by the cities of Louisville, Superior, and unincorporated Boulder County for the 1,084 homes destroyed. All this week, we are taking a look at the impacts of the fire a year later. Dispatch operators in Colorado's ski towns are fielding record numbers of the automated calls from skiers' iPhones and watches, tying up emergency response resources. Dispatch centers in Grand, Eagle, Pitkin, Rout, and Summit counties each are averaging 20 calls a day. The crash detection and fall detection features on the Apple iPhone 14 and watches automatically call 911 when the devices detect a sudden stop that, in concept, means the user has been involved in a car crash. The technology has been heralded for saving lives, but it's not meshing well with skiers who can stop suddenly and often fall without the need for emergency help. The iconic Casa Bonita restaurant in Lakewood will reopen in May 2023, according to a recent update from South Park creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Dana Rodriguez, the Denver-based executive chef for the project, joined in the announcement. Parker and Stone are Colorado natives and bought the bright pink restaurant and childhood staple only months after it went bankrupt in April 2021 due to the pandemic. They paid a reported $3.1 million for it and have been renovating the space ever since. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month, and if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All three exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.